Well, good morning, East Lake Church Playas. Look at you. How amazing everybody looks. I have to make sure that the microphone isn't too close to my mouth because I do not want you guys to hear me go as I hyperventilate up on the stage. Moms, happy Mother's Day. Oh my gosh, we just want to honor you today. My mom is here, so I'm so happy about that. Thank you. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for the hard labor, not just at birth, but for the rest of the years that you have raised your children and my own. We are jumping into week two of Why Church? And I'm really excited that I was given the opportunity to speak today because this topic is very dear to my heart. And I want to start by giving you guys just a little bit of background about my church upbringing, my great-grandparents, who were devout Christians in Guadalajara, as we would be sent for summer vacations to go visit them, would take us to Sunday school every Sunday, La Escuelita Dominical. And then it would kind of flow into the afternoon with the church service. And I don't remember going to church from Monday through Saturday, just on Sundays. So that was the traditional hymn, choir, just a very solemn upbringing as a little girl. And then at 17, when I raised my hand and said yes to Jesus and accepted him in my heart, it was in a very super hyper charismatic church. And if you guys know what a super hyper charismatic church looks like, we do church 8.5 days a week, 28.25 hours a day. It is like, some of you guys are laughing because you've done the hyper charismatic church. And I did that for many, many years. But then in 2000, guess what? I stopped going to church all together. Zero church. Nothing. And it wouldn't be until about 5 years that I would actually have an opportunity to re-engage again in a church community, thanks to my sister Desiree, who invited me to East Lake Church Campus in Chula Vista. So I've had my traditional, my woo, hallelujah, and my prodigal time. I don't know what church background you come from or have experienced or have had. Maybe the traditional, maybe the super charismatic, maybe you don't even go to church. Well, I'm just glad that you're here. And today what I'm hoping is that we can connect in a way that's authentic. That's what we're going to go over today. So I'd like to start with us reading our theme verse from the series, which is in Hebrews 10, 24, 25. It's going to be up on the screen and also on your outline. So you guys follow along with your eyes as I read out loud. Let us consider how to inspire each other to greater love and to righteous deeds, not forgetting to gather as a community, as some have forgotten, but encouraging each other, especially as the day of his return approaches. Now, with your pens, I want you guys to circle encouraging each other. Circle that for me, would you? The phrase one another or each other is actually spoken more than 50 times in the New Testament. And what the idea is actually reinforcing inside of the Bible is that togetherness is a huge key part of us walking out this Jesus faith walk. If you're taking notes, I'd like to also invite you to fill in the today's big idea, why church, to connect authentically. It's on your outlines and up on the screen so you guys can write it down. Why church? To connect authentically. This is also known as the catapult effect, and that's the name of the talk today, catapult effect. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you know what a catapult effect is? Anybody know what a catapult effect is? All right, Paco says pull and then just go out, and that's what it is, catapult effect. Well, I found this cool video clip that I'm going to show you in just a minute of two brothers experiencing a catapult effect. And as we discuss what it means to connect authentically, I want you guys to keep your eye on these two brothers, particularly the one on the left. Glance to the right, but I want you to focus more on the guy on the left-hand side. So check this video out. I love this video. That's a catapult effect. You're in one spot 1 minute, and then the next one, you're like screaming for dear life, right? And that's what sometimes embracing authenticity and connecting authentically can freak a person out. Just like the guy on the left-hand side. I mean, the brother's all smiling, right? Did you notice? He's all, ha, ha, ha. And the guy next to him is like, ah, mom, mom. Some moms would actually try to go get him out of the ride just to save him. But that's a catapult effect. It can maybe feel a little uncomfortable or scary to be authentic. At least it did for me for many years. Just to be honest and kind of open about some of the stuff in my life. But some of you guys are going to experience an opportunity to be more authentic as we go through the talk, and that is my hope. In the Bible, we get to see believers, brand new believers, experience what it means to be authentic, a community that has to have a certain level of depth, of heart, of passion, of intimacy and authenticity. In fact, the church is actually referenced in the New Testament as the body of Christ, a family, the bride. So those are characteristics of intimacy and authenticity and connection and friendship going on. That's what that means. As we explore the idea of connecting authentically, we're going to be reading a little bit out of the book of Romans. And Apostle Paul is the gentleman who was a church leader from the primitive church back when it first started, and he has a lot to say about this idea, being authentic. Now, the audience he's addressing this letter to is very diverse, super diverse, and these are our people that are trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus and how to coexist with this brand new Jesus community, you know, kind of like us. Super diverse. So Paul kicks things off by speaking to the individual first. And I'm going to read, you guys follow along with your eyes. It's going to be up on the screen and in your outlines. And it's Romans 12, 1. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Now the call to Christianity is purposefully to the individual, challenging us to bring everything to the table, everything. But as Jesus not only spoke about the individual person, Paul makes a little shift. But I want to say something really quick. If this is your first time and you're just checking it out, or you have not had an opportunity to raise your hand and say, yes, I'm all in, it's okay, you're safe. This is a great place to just come and check it out. And these verses that we just read is not intended for you. So just relax. I know some of you are like, bring my whole life to the table, like everything. No, just relax. But for those of you who have yet said yes to Jesus, this is for us. It is to bring everything to the table, everything. And I know that can be scary for some of us. But what Paul is saying in these verses is that our faith walk with Jesus needs to be authentic, it needs to be genuine, and it needs to be congruent. And congruent is that what you say is actually what you do. And we've talked about this from the stage. I have shared with you about the gaps that sometimes I'm not the person that I really want to be, and I'm working on that. But our faith walk with Jesus needs to kind of match. Like, if I call myself a Christian, then I need to be working towards learning how to become a better Christian in Jesus. So write this down if you're taking notes, which I hope you are. Here's your first fill-in. Well, I think it's your next fill-in. Thank you. Authenticity means owning all that we are. owning all that we are. Authenticity is a choice, guys. It's a choice to be honest. It's a choice to bring our entire personhood, everything. It's all about the entire you. And it's kind of like this image that we're going to take a look at right up on the screen. This is the good old iceberg. Most of us, and this is like of our whole lives right here, if you take a look at that picture, the tip of the iceberg is kind of our lives. And the bottom under the waterline is also our lives. But for us, normally, the top of the iceberg is what we let people see, how people know us, how the world experiences us, how we just put our best foot forward in what people see. Now, there's nothing fake or shallow or hollow about what's on top of the waterline, right? But we also are not going to deny the fact that culture, it really prompts us and provokes us to just kind of show the best of us, but not what's under the waterline. Because look how big that iceberg is under the waterline. Like, there's way more to you than what people see. But what I love about Jesus is that he's okay with both sides of that waterline. He knows you and what you put out, and he knows all the stuff that you don't want to share. And he's okay with that. He is not scared of that. I love that about Jesus. He honors both sides. Thanks, guys, for putting up that picture. I appreciate it. That's a great visual. I'm like, wow. So authenticity is important. But here's what authenticity does not call for. And I want you to pay really close attention to this. It would be so foolish and actually a possible sign or cause of psychological disorder if we were to put out every single detail of our private lives just out there. That's not what authenticity calls for. And I want you to know that. You don't have to be putting out every detail of your life. However, there's always a little but. However, what each one of us does need is a group of people that we can feel safe with, that we can share our stuff with, people that we can slowly bring to the bottom half of the waterline, gradually, as trust is earned, right? And I know you guys don't share a lot because maybe you've been hurt. There's some trust issues. I get it. I get it. But these are moments where we have to surround ourselves with some great people that love Jesus, that can point us in the right direction, because we all need connection, encouragement, and support. So I want to encourage you to join a growth group when we tell you to join a growth group. That's why we do it, because that way you can start gradually, you know, as time allows and as you start to feel comfortable to open up and share some of the stuff in your life where you're safe. You can bring them below the waterline as you engage in growth groups. So please, guys, make sure to do that. For example, I'll tell you, Fito, my husband and I, we just finished a couples growth group this past Tuesday, and we had some amazing weeks together. And for those of you who were there, you know it was a good time. We learned a lot about each other. Fito and I shared things about our past challenges, about some of the stuff that we're going through right now, and we learned. We were very authentic, but we did not, like, pour out every detail. But we want to be authentic. We want them to know that we struggle and that we have also taken some practical steps in moving forward to be where we're at in our marriage. So that's one way of being authentic. But I do have another group of people, some ladies in my life that I've known for many years. And it has taken me years to trust this intimate group of ladies who I share a lot of details with. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the real ugly. And there's a lot of that. Even some of the stuff that doesn't make me look that good. I don't just want to be authentic. I want to be able to share with an intimate group of friends. I want to be known. I want to be loved. I don't want judgment. But I have to have that authenticity and that love poured out with some dear friends. And that's what we are learning to do. And trust me, these women have a lot of, I always think, man, if they ever want to mess me up, woo! They could. But trust can be difficult, right? Especially when we've been burned in relationships. But here's what I have to say about that. How many of you here have experienced a really bad meal? And you guys know what I mean when I say a really bad meal. Raise your hands. Have you ever had food poisoning? Or did you guys like just feel sick maybe because something didn't sit well? Did you stop eating? No, right? I don't know. Have you stopped eating since you had your bad meal?
No.
Oh, good. Oh, my gosh, good. Like, no wonder you guys are looking anemic over here. Trust is the same way. You just got to give it another shot. Don't be afraid to move forward. Don't be afraid to move forward. I'm going to ask you guys another couple of questions. Are you guys owning who you really are? Do you know who you really are? And are you aware of the things below the waterline in your life, the stuff that nobody sees? Are you even aware of it? Is what's underneath the waterline congruent with the way you live? And are you allowing others to support you and encourage you? Are you letting others in to be a part of that healing process and to get to know the full you? I want to encourage you to keep finding, looking, cultivating deep, deep friendships so that you can gradually start to be that authentic person that God has called you to be. We're going to keep following what Paul has written in the book of Romans. I'll read out loud. You guys follow along. It's going to be up on the screen and also on your outlines. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we're not. So the first plea that Paul is saying is, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Individual, yeah, you, just you, bring it all, bring it all. But then he shifts gears and he starts to talk to the group of people. How we do this community thing is very, very important. He's given instruction and he's giving us an idea of what it means to get together as a whole. It's a body. I mean, imagine me without, you know, a finger or a toe. That toe is not going to be much in itself, but when it's connected to the body, it becomes whole and complete. And that's what we are bounded by. Just a bunch of individuals as Christ's body. Here's another fill-in. Connecting authenticity invites me to, and it'll be up on the screen and on your outline as well. Number one, acknowledge our differences. Acknowledge our differences. The Bible repeatedly tells us to honor our diversity while pursuing unity. Unity and diversity are not meant to oppose each other. And here's the idea. As a unified body that we are, what do we have in common? We love Jesus. Jesus is our Savior. We have said yes to him. That's what unifies us. But then the diverse part of us is that we get to be our own person, our individual person. And that's okay too. That's okay too. We have to make way and space for diversity, not just the things that unite us. We're made to come together, move towards each other, and being that we are okay to experience our lives as individuals. And my encouragement to us today is that we were able to do that. Just allow us to be a church, a body, a family that can experience unity and diversity. But now let me make something very, very clear. Here's the disclaimer. Romans 12 talks about differences. We're different. Even though our faith in Jesus unites us, we're still different. There are differences. And that is very different from sin. Sin is not spoken of in Romans chapter 12. Just the fact that we're different. Sometimes differences do come up because there is sin evident. Someone was wrong. I mean, crime? That's one of them. Racism, extramarital affairs. I mean, some people even sin saying that Taco Bell is Mexican food. I kind of like Taco Bell, actually. You guys get the point, right? There's like the differences and then there's sin. So we need to make sure that we're clear on that, guys. You guys, which takes us to our next point. But you know what? Before I say that, we need to be okay with people being different with us and allow them to still go beneath the waterline. Just find people that you're safe with, that are okay with the differences in your life, because that's what we need. So here's our next point. Connecting authentically invites me to, and it's going to be up on the screen on your outline. Point number two, embrace the mess. Embrace the mess. Can you guys hear me? This point makes me hyperventilate. Because man, can life get messy. Oh, dude. And dudettes. Life can get messy. And if you're not, you know, you probably just came out of a mess. You're probably sitting in the hot mess. Or the hot mess is on its way. But it will show up. And life can get messy. The ideas that we're looking at today, have a way of uncovering the messiness and all of this disorderly nature that we experience in our relationships. When people come together authentically, even and including the body of Christ, there can still be some mess from time to time. It's normal. And I think that what we need to do, as this point is asking us, is just to embrace the fact that things are not always going to go the way you anticipated, planned, or expected in your relationships. They're just not. Not for me, not for you. But we need to learn to just be okay with the mess. I can always tell when I'm not embracing the mess too well. You know what happens to me? I get this idea stuck in my head. Man, I suck at life. I'm not doing good with this mess. Or I do the little recorder. What could I have done differently? How could I have prevented this mess from happening? I should not have said that. I should have said that. And it's just like goes and goes. That's when I know that I'm not dealing with the mess really good. It's just like there's messes in life. We've all been there? Anybody? I'm glad I'm not alone. Let's just understand that life can get messy. So here's a question. How many of you have junk drawers? And I'm not talking underwear. Junk drawers. Yeah? All right. It's that little box in the cabinet that you open once in a while and you find some, like, I don't know, some odd, random, unique, maybe forgotten special items. Right? Little junk drawer going on here. Well, around here, we like to say, because that's kind of like us, just random sometimes, a little unique in their own way. Maybe you feel forgotten, or you're extra, extra special. That's what happens to us sometimes. But here in this place, we like to say, no perfect people allowed. Come as you are. We love you. You're safe here. We want you here. You don't have to get it all together in order to show up and do church. No, no, no. Embracing the mess is proactively being willing to work our individual mess as well as our shared mess with and in other relationships. And here's something that I also have to say. Not if, but when. We mess it up, whether we have been deeply wounded because someone crossed an invisible line and now they have experienced pain at levels that can be very astronomical, or you have been the perpetrator and have actually caused, and you have crossed over that invisible line and hurt someone deeply. Whatever it is, maliciously or innocently, there is power in forgiveness. Oh, there is some healing power in forgiveness. when we move towards one another and just say, hey, knowing what I know now, seeing how deeply I hurt you, how much pain I've caused you, I would have done things so differently. And to sit there and open your eyes and look straight at them, into their eyes, if possible, and say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Forgiveness is powerful. And I would further along say, hey, God has shown me something about this mess, shown me something about me, has shown me something about you, has shown me something about us. I'm so sorry. Forgiveness is a powerful thing, no matter what side of the table you're on. You can be the one asking for forgiveness or extending the forgiveness. Asking, it's powerful, no matter what side of the table you sit at. It can heal us. It can heal our marriages. It can heal our family. It can heal our working relationships. It can heal our children. If we just move towards the forgiveness, it's powerful. As a church or people, for those of you who have said yes to Jesus, this is what defines and separates us. This should be the thing that when people look at us as Christ followers, defines us. Why? Because we've experienced the forgiveness from God. And this is the thing that sets us apart as Christ followers. And I just pray that we could be a generous people with our apologies and be generous towards forgiving. Healthy relationships know how to work it out. They know how to work out the mess and move forward. And I pray that will be us today. Please don't stay stuck in the lack of forgiveness, which leads us to our next point. Point number three. Connecting authentically invites me to go beyond where I am. Go beyond where I am. Few things catapult us forward more than connecting authentically. It can expand our whole lives if we allow it to. We were not made to be cut off from the body. We were not. We were made to do life together. Connecting helps us thrive in life. You don't have to do this alone. It connects us. Romans 12 still tells us about God's ultimate plan. And what is that? The ultimate plan that God has for us is for us to reconcile with God and to also reconcile with others. That is God's ultimate plan. Why? All for the sake of his mission. So we pour out our love to others as we do this authentic walk. I'm going to read Romans 12:9, and I would love if we could do it all together and at the same time in our loud voices on the count of three. One, two, three. Love others well and don't hide behind a mask. Love authentically. Yeah, you guys have been to Sunday school. Sunday school does the Romans 12:1. We like to put that together, make sure everybody knows where it is. Romans 12, it just reinforces the idea that love is what's pivotal. That's what makes us go. Love is what helps us work out the relationships that are hard sometimes. It's about dealing with real life issues, real people, maybe in some messiness. Doing life together is way better than doing it by yourself. Together is better. So what's your next right step? I mean, for some of you, you don't even feel connected. Join a growth group. Find some friends. Just start getting to know them. Invite them out to eat, you know, or say, hey, can you invite me out? I want to tell you that I want to become your friend, but, you know, can you invite me out for a cup of coffee? Whatever it takes, move forward. It's all right. It's all about connecting. Or, you know, go have some Taco Bell at Taconazo. Maybe you are connected and there's just some stuff that you're going through that's inside that nobody knows about. Maybe you are owning your stuff, but you're not allowing somebody to be a part of your life and sharing the details with people that you're learning to trust, would you find someone to maybe start opening up with just a little bit more? Maybe you're realizing there's a lot of undealt with issues, hurt and pain regarding this topic of authenticity. I want to invite you to just start connecting. Or maybe you need to forgive someone who's asked for forgiveness and you have said, not doing it. Nope. Or maybe you're in a place where you can actually give a solid apology for what has happened. Either side of the table is good. Either side of the table is good. Or maybe you're that fortunate person who is very well connected, who has made amends, who has said, I'm sorry, who has received the apology, and you are like pretty good. You're good. Well, for you, I want to invite you to actually expand your circle of relationships and friends and invite someone deliberately into your world and have a new friend. I don't know what your next right step is, but there's a lot of opportunity to grow in this topic of authenticity. God's always drawing us towards him and towards others. He is always drawing us closer through love. And I pray that we will not just simply be a church who talks about love, but that can actually authentically, genuinely love. And that looks like extending grace, embracing the mess, being honest with a little group of few with the details over the course of time. It's the person who says, I'm sorry, and it's the person who says, I accept your apology. That is my prayer today, that we can do this authentically. Why church? Because Jesus loves us. A church of authentic connection is what we need to be. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for those who have said yes to Jesus. I thank you for those who have made their way towards you with a desire to do things authentically, allowing people to get to know us below that waterline. I know it can be a scary place, but Lord, done well, done in a healthy way, we can be open to who we really are. And I know that as we celebrate Mother's Day today, some of us, it's not a happy day today. Our moms are far. Our mom's not even here. It's a mess. Or maybe they're with you, Lord. Or maybe they're sitting right next to us. I don't know. But God, I pray for healing to take place. And that as we celebrate Mother's Day, we really are celebrating your love towards us. Help us to be authentic. Help us to be authentic. In Jesus' name, amen.